This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9 with Julian Ng, Ibrahim Sani and me, Melissa Idris. Here on the local business scene, CIMB Group making headlines. They are estimating a revenue of 1 billion ringgit in the first 5 years of its 15-year tie-up with Sompo Japan Nippon Koa Holdings, which is one of Japan's largest bancassurance insurers.
I guess it's a way for banks to grow instead of setting up their own insurance shop. They just tie up with insurance companies and they make money out of distribution. So CIMB expects to make $1 billion out of that 15-year deal with Sompo, which is a really large general insurance company in Japan.
Yeah, and they are already doing this in other countries in the so-called MIST program. They have started selling the bank insurance products in Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore and Thailand. In Malaysia, they currently have an agreement with Alliance Malaysia Berhad. Of course, this expires next year. So I guess after that, CIMB will start distributing Sompo products.
Okay.
And hopefully they can get about 100, according to the CEO, 140 million net proceeds.
Okay, so CIMB will use Sompo products and sell them through CIMB's wide reach within the region.
Yep. Branch network.
And that would mean that they get to tap into the bancassurance industry.
Yep, okay. That whole process is called bancassurance, which means that the banks will sell insurance products without setting up their own insurance company. And the insurance companies would also benefit because they don't have to set up their distribution network. They just focus on creating insurance products for the people.
In other news, we've also got CMS Opus Private Equity, which undertakes investments for Equinas. Now, they are said to be close to sealing a deal to acquire MBG Fruits Sdn Bhd. MBG Fruits, of course, that the fresh produce chain that you see in shopping malls around.
It's called MBG because it's called money back guarantee. I've never tried returning fruits back to them for my money back.
Money back guarantee.
But for CMS Opus to actually buy this, the devil is in the name actually. CMS is Cahaya Mata Sarawak. Cahaya Mata has about 51% stake in this fund house. They have about 80 million ringgit worth of fund size. And it's part of their outsourced program of Equinas. Now the question is, will there be more of these outsourced program by Equinas by hiring many more fund managers out there?
Well, Equinas has a new CEO, and the new CEO says that they will likely see a different composition of its portfolio this year with new investments in the retail sector. As we can see that Equinas has gone big into the private education business. But now, apparently, retail is where they want to push into.
Yeah, the government wants to become a fruit seller, is what I read from this.
Is that how you see it?
They want to become a fruit seller. I'm not sure if the government should be a fruit seller because they were a coffee seller before.
San Francisco,
they didn't do well. They lost money on that. And Equinas is, of course, an institution that is 100% owned by the government of Malaysia. I still can't get over the fact that our government is in the business of fruit selling.
But it's a private equity firm, essentially. Yes, it's a government private equity firm, but it's a private equity firm. So their business is to get into other people's business.
That's a catchy tagline.
They should call me. Call me.
I think that the governments, I don't think governments should be in business. I mean, this latest report that is being done by PwC saying that economic crimes are still on the rise. And I think that if governments, the more governments go into business, the more they can be tempted and seduced into corrupt acts, right? And what about giving back the money to some of us who need money for housing, for education, and so on? Why doesn't the government focus on those things?
Yeah, and again, the devil is in the name because government is supposed to govern and enterprises is supposed to make profit. But when the government is aimed at making profit, then somebody inside the government will make profit, at least for themselves, if not for the firm that they're in charge of.
Yeah.
And this is a problem because even yesterday, we saw a statement coming in from the Deputy Prime Minister, Zaid Hamidi. He says that government civil servants must not report and not share share secrets to external parties. So the question is, if there is a wrongdoing that is transpiring in front of a government civil servant, he or she must not and will not report that misdeed to necessary authorities because of these restrictions.
You know, this survey that you cited, Jules, from PwC is really quite interesting. It's the Global Economic Crime Survey, and what they found specific to Malaysia is that more companies in Malaysia are involved in bribery and corruption. In fact, 30% of them reported losses over $100,000 from economic crime, and 13% said they lost more than $1 million due to economic crime. So what exactly how they define economic crime is through things like asset misappropriation, and that's one of the highest, in fact, that they've reported.
So I think this is the story of the trust deficit that's going on, continuing with the 1MDB saga and all that. And it's bad for the country. It's not just the government, private sector bribing the government's officials. It's also private sector people bribing each other. And according to the survey, 3/4 of the employees don't feel confident enough that they can whistleblow in secret. So, it really perpetuates this vicious cycle that's going on.
I find that weird because, apparently almost all of the respondents, 98% of the respondents said that the top level management has sent a very clear message that, economic crime will not be condoned. There's zero tolerance for bribery. And yet you still see such, staggering figures when it comes to economic crime.
That's why we end up with scandals like, the emission scandals in Volkswagen, Mitsubishi scandals, or the car scandals. We need for people to speak up, right?
Absolutely. And the problem is when you criminalize the problems of speaking out, there is an active way of stemming silence or perpetuating silence in the people. And that is very damaging.
Okay. Well, on a somewhat related note, we've got Indonesia considering forming a special region that will serve as an onshore financial center in which domestic firms can create shell companies without having to go to tax haven countries. This is all part of the...
They are biting the dust. They're biting... Indonesia is setting up their own Panama, their own tax haven, right? So instead of going to Panama, come to Indonesia is what they're saying.
Is this all part of that, the tax amnesty program?
I think so.
They said, okay, so we want you to come back, bring back your tax dollars and we'll give you amnesty. But now they're taking it one step further and say, we'll set up a tax haven for you.
You see, I think this is just procedurally making it easier for the tax amnesty to happen, because really the hands of the people of Indonesia or anywhere else in the world are tied. Corporations are holding a lot of money that's outside of the country, and the country needs the money. So the only way to do that is to forgive the amount of taxes they owe to the country and say, come back, and we'll give you this place to do business.
And this basically addresses Jokowi's political pragmatism to address the tax revenue problem. Because for full year this year, the Indonesian tax office actually targets about over 100 billion US dollars. And from the start of this target, they have met with resistance. But because of, right now they have about 80 billion US dollars in terms of tax revenue. For him to actually be pragmatic and say, we're going to give tax amnesty and grow the tax revenue by about 25% to 100 billion US dollars. That says a lot about the pragmatism that Jokowi has.
And this really goes back to the PwC report that we really need to be going through this process of eliminating corruption, because government revenue is such a precious and scarce resource, right? We can't tax the companies efficiently. We can't tax individuals efficiently. Imagine only like Malaysia, only about 10% of the people of Indonesia are taxpayers. So the government really needs to look for alternative sources of income. And it looks more and more like consumption taxes are the only viable solution. I mean, in some countries like the United States, ideas have been proposed that they want to push up consumption taxes to 22%,
wow,
right? And totally eliminate corporation and income taxes.
Wow, there you go. Okay, we've got the 9 o'clock news bulletin coming up at the top of the hour. But first, as the players take a break from the before the round of 16 in Euro 2016, Audrey Raj takes a look at one of the key clashes from the next stage, Iceland versus England. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.